I just want to get pick your brain about that.
Yeah, well, what's interesting, and I'm going to connect to the first time when you were mentioning this thing about the doors and the idea of this, you know, the title of this dialogue sermon being opening doors. And then I'll get back to the question about Jesus. But first I'm going to share a little bit from my faith tradition of Buddhism, where actually the place where I'm going this week, I'm leaving on Wednesday to go to a retreat center in Colorado. It's called Shambhala Mountain Center, which is actually where I discovered my spiritual path there. And there's a beautiful piece of sacred architecture, and I was just looking, there's something in the scripture that we read that I was trying to find it, and I thought, well, Joel will just be able to pull it out of his mind, that referred to space, sacred space. Yes. Maybe it was something that you read from the pulpit before. So it's in the
responsive reading.
In the responsive reading, there was something about sacred space.
Yes.
So that's where we are right now. We're in sacred space. This is sacred space. And in Colorado, at this particular place, there's this sacred architecture called a stupa in our tradition, which is there's a whole lot more to the symbolism of what the stupa is, but this particular one is called the stupa of Dharmakaya, which liberates upon seeing. And one of the pieces of symbolism that I want to share that's related to the doors, when you were sharing this piece about the doors, is the color of the doors of that stupa are very symbolic, and they connect with teachings, very deep sacred teachings, but they really connect in this instance with just what you described, Joel, in that the east door, sort of this initial door where 500 people would come in before, the east door of stupa is painted blue, and it stands for what we say vajra energy. It's clarity. It's clarity of vision is the wisdom form of that energy. This is based on teachings called wisdom energies. And so clarity of vision from the founding of this institution began at this east door, which on the stupa would be painted blue. the one on the other side, the west, would in my tradition be called Padma, which is passion. And I'm looking at Mary Wheat because she has unlimited passion. And all of those 500 people who come in there, and I know many of you volunteer and work in the pantry on the Wednesdays and Thursday mornings, and that the energy of passion to sustain that kind of ministry over time is that's that door, the west, passion. The which side to start with first to make the, I don't remember which way you went first, but I'll start this side. The west side would be south, which is generosity. The symbolism would be generosity. And if you think of all of the people who come here for various meetings and community offering, right? Offering is generosity. Offering to the community, offering to one another, offering support to one another, offering their work and their own power to make change in the community. They enter the west door, which would be yellow.
South door.
The south door. Yellow is the color. Ratna.
So we should be painting that yellow.
Word.
Okay.
Yeah, right. And then the north door, where all the food comes in, all of the, you've mentioned that it's become more active. It was actually inactive for quite some time. That would be green. The north door. Is that right? No, I'm sorry. West. No, north. Yes, that's right. North. No, the north door is actually activity. It would be green or karma energy. So karma actually means activity. And so I found that just fascinating. And then the other piece that can, this the sacred space part, there's a fifth energy. It's called the five wisdom energies, right? So we've covered the four cardinal directions, but the center is white, clear light. And that's Buddha energy, which is spaciousness. Mm-hmm. And that's really sacred space. And so it all comes together as bringing our mm-hmm. various energies together to sacred space.
And you said the Dharmakaya stupa place. Mm-hmm. What was that thing about? Transforms you upon seeing, or
which liberates upon seeing.
Liberates upon seeing. That right. phrase catches me because I think in our culture it's so easy for us to get absorbed in the doing of things mm-hmm. that we don't really see what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And so that phrase liberates upon seeing could be like, well, when you show up in Colorado and see this giant thing, you're going to be liberated. Mm-hmm. But I think it's got a deeper quality of, do you really see what's right in front of your face?
Right.
Kind of thing. So right. what's easy for me, having been in ministry for 35 years and having pastored churches, this church mostly, where the official membership, which we report to our United Church of Christ, you know, has gone down. And you look at that graph and you think, well, this is a declining, aging church. And that's all you see. But then when you start peeling back and seeing with the eyes of the infant, if you will, or the eyes of an observer, just step back and actually look more deeply, it's like it used to be one door was critical, and now all four doors, even one that was totally unused, is now a critical entryway. Mm-hmm. And so that's, and I go around and I try to just keep up with, like I meet people here all the time. I'm here for such, where do I go? And people will get lost, whether they're in the pantry or the bridge club or others. And it's just so fascinating. What is going on? And I just love living with that question because Jesus is sneaking around here.
Yeah, so let's connect it back there.
Yeah.
Because it connects with that, the name of this, the stupa of Dharmakaya, which liberates upon seeing. What that's really saying is that that's not separate from who you are. This is a little beyond. You know, it's a little hard to hear the first time, but I'm going to connect it to Christianity, and that is, it's the in Buddhism, that's a very deep, very powerful, and a deep place to have that realization of, say, for example, we're all one, right? You've heard that, you know. I know there's a joke about or having the Buddhist orders the hot dog. Make me one with everything. That's kind of a joke on this piece, right? But it's actually a very profound and deep teaching of the symbolism of the stupa, which liberates upon seeing, is not separate from who you are when you are there.
And see who you really are.
And to see who you really are. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and because of that piece of being sacred and having the symbolism, yeah, you know, the sacred yeah, architecture.
Yeah, yeah.
And to me, it's, I think that Jesus would say, I'm not separate from you. We are in communion. Mm. That the whole piece of communion of the bread is my body, and the cup, the wine is my blood. You are not separate from me. We are one. And to me, that's really what. So in the Buddhist tradition, that's what, which liberates upon seeing. Mm. But I think communion in the Christian tradition is very much about that union, right? It's also yoga, union.
And one can take this in a very philosophical, esoteric, right, theological way. Like in the church, we have all these debates about what's the true communion and why Catholics can't have communion with Protestants, and we go off on all these things, but. But what at heart is about, we are one. What does that really mean? Well, that takes you back to the Christian Center and that 15-year-old standing up and saying, who are we? Are we just helpless victims of this system where there's drug dealers everywhere and all we can do is scream and yell and complain? Or Or are we, can we come together and create something new? Like sports teams. So you can kind of see it just as the community organizing is, well, we got to get these people to stop complaining and do something. And so let's get, or in a deeper way, a spiritual way, it's community organizing is, can we help the people in this room move through their anger to seeing who they really are? Agents in this world who can make a difference, who can transform a park from a drug den into a sports league, which that's valuable, but what's really valuable is seeing that we're one, which is what the spark of that 15-year-old was, mm-hmm. which is the communion. Because when we have that kind of communion, then all of a sudden, we can feed 500 people. And it's like, if somebody told me 10 years ago, that's what we're going to be doing, I would have said, you got to be kidding. But with passion and oneness, boom.
Right.
Yeah, which relates to our scriptures, that Song of Solomon. You know, you have two people, and when two people fall in love, boom, things change. Think about it. And that's the spiritual quality of when you fall in love, you're no longer two, but you're one. And if we know we're the beloved of God, everything changes. Which leads us back to some stuff from yesterday.
Yes, I would.
Is it being fussy again?
Being a little fussy. Hello? Oh, is that better? No. Hello? There, that's better.
Yeah, just whack it.
So... I was very touched by the faith offering, which I wish I had brought the printout of that. That Alice, and she was from, I forget even where, yeah. Connecticut, yeah. Naugatuck
yeah.
Valley.
But
she shared a very beautiful faith reflection at the opening of our training yesterday in community organizing. And she called our work of faith-based community organizing a deep wisdom tradition. Mm. And I never really thought, I mean, to me, the work that I do is very connected to my spiritual path and to my, and I mean, I did happen to study it in college as well. So I have the education and I have a lot of experience in the work, but the real power of the work comes from my, you know, deeply held spiritual beliefs. And so I loved her picking that up and saying that community organizing, the work that we do, is a deep wisdom tradition. And one of the things that we offered, I offered a workshop on power, which community organizing is about transforming power relationships within a community. And so in that workshop, we talk about different types of power. There's power over, which is what we kind of typically think of when, you know, sort of the top, that top-down authoritarian control kind of power. There's power with, which is what we build in community organizing. When we come together and when we gather together, we build our power with one another to be able to transform our communities. And then power within is that which we come with. It's what is developed through this on Sunday mornings and over at Knesset Israel on Saturday mornings and in the other, you know, it's, and also in our own personal spaces. Our sort of power within is, it's uncovered in that ways. But the truth of the matter is, it's in all of us, and we all may call it by different names. I'm going to insert a very brief story about one of the initial conversations I had with a clergy leader. This was a Catholic deacon in North Adams when we were building bio. He was saying in our conversation that when he would have a conversation with a family or do a pastoral visit at someone's home, as he approached the door, he would feel the Christ within him, within himself. And as he was opening the door and he would see each of the people in that family, he would see the Christ within each of the members of that family. and that that was the foundation, the base from which he would begin a pastoral visit. So what that is, in my, I mean, I was just floored when he said that, because there's a very similar, I won't go into the language in my tradition, but it's very, you know, much the same of sort of, you know, experiencing your, the, what in community organizing, our shared deep wisdom tradition. it's this power within. So I'm just going to read this very short passage, two little pieces from this book called Putting Power in Its Place, Create Community Control. And just to give the reference, this is by someone named Priscilla Boucher. It is power from within that gives us the strength to speak out and to join with others in withdrawing our consent for relations of power over. When the number of individuals who are prepared to exercise their power from within increases, power over begins its conversion to power with. Does that make sense? I see some heads nodding.
Read it again,
Tora says. Shall I read it? I'll read it once more.
Yeah.
It is power from within that gives us the strength to speak out and to join with others in withdrawing our consent for relations of power over. When the number of individuals who are prepared to exercise their power from within increases, power over begins its conversion to power with. I'll just say that when we have our spring action, and I know a lot of you were there for bio, and we work so hard on what we call turnout, we're saying, this is all hands on deck, folks. We need everyone there. That's a bit of what this is about. Bringing our power within all together to form that packing, where whatever the location is where we have our action, to show the strength in numbers, power with, in order to transmute those relationships of power over.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that ties in so well with the scriptures in terms of that taking on that yoke.
Yes.
And when one is brave enough to put on that yoke with Christ, then this power is released from within that can accomplish amazing things. I think that's why it's easy and light. It's not because the task is easy and light, but it's because all of a sudden the energy source is so much deeper and so much more powerful, which is why the church is still here after 2,000 years. But in the history of the church, we've tended to shift into that power over, where either clergy or hierarchies or institutions, and so congregations become passive, and, you know, it's sort of designed that way, you know. The minister's up here, and obviously there's the power over, above, but as the church shifts, and we become with and within, well, then other doors open and other things happen and passion is released from many different places, and the yoke and the tasks are as onerous as they ever were, and yet they're easy and light because there's connection. Mm-hmm. You fall in love. And when you're in love, all the work is just joyous, except when it's in the middle of the night and you got a crying baby. But still, you do it for love. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's 11 o'clock. This always happens. I told you this would happen. Yes, we could go on for an hour. We'll put this quote maybe in online or in the bulletin for next Sunday, and people can hopefully talk to you during the afterwards. But if you want to know more about BIO, Berkshire Interfaith Organizing, I'm the president, and I attend the meetings. And Peggy Walsh is very active, and others have come to things. So, so participate if you want. And but whatever you do, the power within, the Christ within, let Christ walk with you, because Christ is walking with us somewhere. It just doesn't always tell us where we're going, but we'll find out when we get there. So thank you, Wendy.
Yes, thank you.
And have a
thank
blessed time at Dharmakaya in Colorado.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the invitation to share with you like this.
Oh, this is awesome.
Thank you.
Yes.